glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. And I'm being blessed listening, friend. You know, I call it Mark and Friends because I get this great opportunity to meet new friends all the time. And I have a special guest in the studio with me. In fact, a few weeks ago, he was at the BMIC breakfast. It's kind of like a breakfast lunch because they serve pizza and fixins for breakfast, but it's about from 8 in the morning till about 10 or 10:30 by the time the guys all leave. But Kurt Fleck was the special speaker. He's a part of Civil Service Ministries, and yet I also know about the impact he's having at our state capitol with the representatives. He goes there and prays and has different initiatives to encourage those that represent us and represent our state of Illinois. And so somebody said, you got to get a hold of Kurt. He's got a great story, how God's using him not only with the Civil Service Ministries, but in his church. He's also an elder at Southern View Chapel. I know he has a pumpkin patch. He and his wife, Kim, do a number of different things where they just love on the community. How many children do you? Oh, so by way of introduction, Kurt, these are things that people have said about you, but we're just getting to know each other. How would you want the listener to be introduced to Kurt, and for that matter, Kurt and Kim Fleck?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it. I guess if I were to be introduced, I'd want someone to just say servant of the Lord, and we love the community and doing the various things that we do ministry-wise and also through our business venture out at Pumpkin Creek Farms. We definitely want to represent Christ in whatever endeavor we do. And so my name's Kurt. Like I said, my wife's Kim, and then we have three kids, Kendall, Hadley, and Cannon. They are ages, actually, the oldest is about to turn 16 in 2 weeks, so we're going to be having a driver here, which has not not been easy for either of us.
I have a teenager, too, and I've already dreaded that a few years away.
It's coming. Yeah. It's already, I mean, it comes fast. It's kind of shocking. Here we are needing to find a car and all that kind of stuff. And so we have one in high school, one in junior high, and one in elementary. And it's a privilege to get to raise kids for the Lord, and it's also a privilege to get to work in ministry vocationally. As you get to here at the radio station, I have the opportunity to do that at the Capitol with Civil Servant Ministries, and excited to talk about it.
I have friends that love to call themselves free agents for Jesus, and that's kind of what you and Kim are able to do. So how did that business start with the pumpkin patch, let alone your ministry work here on the state capitol?
Well, actually, it's interesting. The idea, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I've always wanted to own a business. A lot of my family come from an agricultural background. Mm. My family has farmed for many years out between Riverton and Buffalo. So I grew up in that environment and didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. We were visiting a pumpkin patch, a wonderful pumpkin patch up in Bloomington, actually, some friends of ours, the Raiders, up there. And we thought, well, there's really nothing quite exactly like this in Springfield. There's some pumpkin patches, but they're not as activities-oriented, or at least they weren't at that time. And so we approached my great-uncle back in 2011 about purchasing his farm, which is in a great spot. And our thought with that was, if we can make a living that way, instead of working outside the home and in various jobs, we could be more free for ministry and do some different things. What I didn't know is that it was going to end up leading us to the opportunity we have now at the Capitol, and that is because we had enough income from that we were able to start doing that ministry and didn't have to raise quite as much funds for that at the time. So it allowed for that transition to take place, and really it started because we were just supporting this ministry. The gentleman, Sean Lewis, that started it, who has moved on to a pastoral role, was trying to see if he could find someone to succeed him, and we were just talking about it. And the Lord put it in my mind and my heart to maybe be the guy that replaced him. So that happened in 2018. So I've now been at the Capitol in this role for 5 years, and it's been an absolute privilege. I did have to navigate COVID and all of that, which was very weird time. But things have kind of gotten back to normal there, and it's wonderful. And they don't usually overlap. The fall season is in the fall. The legislative season is in the spring, and then we have a little bit of overlap at the end of the fall. But the Lord has worked it out so that we can kind of do this bivocational thing, and it's been wonderful.
When I first heard about your work, I was so excited because we had Dave Kessler on, and he does a very similar thing in Washington, D.C. with congressmen, with senators, with even Supreme Court justices or their aides, where he goes into the office and prays with them, talks with them, isn't political. In fact, he had that great joke about he doesn't like politics because it's two words, poly meaning many, and ticks. Who likes ticks? Nobody likes ticks, and you don't want many ticks. But he said he doesn't get political, but he does want to influence policy, God-honoring policy. But I love the work that you do. You want to go in and pray and meet with these. So talk a little about civil service ministries and how our listeners can be praying and be aware of what you're doing, the impact that's being had.
Yeah, so really, the desire to be there in this capacity comes from Scripture, and it comes from the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, we see in Paul's calling, even in Acts 9:15, where the Lord speaks to Ananias, he calls him specifically to go stand before kings, to stand before people in power. And we see that he was specifically called to go stand before Caesar later in the book of Acts. And so we also see in the passage that you read to start off in 1 Timothy 2:1, we have this urging from the Apostle Paul to Timothy to pray for kings and all who are in authority. Now, it says to all men, but then he specifically says for people in authority. And so there is a heart there. There is an intentionality from the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit, as he wrote, to reach out and to pray for people that are in positions of authority. And the reason for that, we actually see in Romans 13, at the beginning of Romans 13, verse 1, it says, all authority comes from God. All authority. And that's true for a president, a governor. It's true for a lawmaker. It's true for a police officer. It's true for a parent. All authority comes from God. And the reality is we're going to stand judgment for what we do with the authority that God has placed in our life. And that's true for each of us. So there was a burden on Paul's heart for people who have been given these high positions. And we're told as Christian people to pray for them. And but then we're also told how to pray for them. It says we're to pray for their salvation, right? In verse 4 it said, because God desires that all men be saved. So when is the last time you prayed for the salvation of the president or the governor or your lawmaker, your Supreme Court justice, even if you don't like them politically? And so the reality is there are a lot of people doing good political work on behalf of the faith-based community, on behalf of Christians, and we're glad that they're there. But my role there is not to be a political mover and shaker. It's not to lobby for bills. We never weigh in on bills. My role there is to share the gospel, to teach the scriptures, and to pray with them. So what we do is we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew now for the last few years, just verse by verse, create a Bible study, a devotional style lesson each week, deliver them to every office in the Capitol, and then we invite them, whoever wants to come can come meet us for Bible study on Thursday morning, and they get the opportunity to come do that. And we have a number of people that do come each week. We provide breakfast for the lawmakers. We do the same thing for the Supreme Court when they're in session on a different morning, and that opportunity is there for them. Voluntary, of course, across the board. We don't work for the state. Obviously, we're a nonprofit Christian organization, but we're also out there to be a political power. We are there to share the gospel and to edify believers as well. As you can imagine, it's probably it's a difficult place to be a Christian.
And you're kind of like a chaplain.
A chaplain would be a good description, absolutely. So I really go around and focus on everybody that I can, but I focus a little bit more on men. My coworker, Carla Matras, who works for me in the ministry, is a women's chaplain. And you might not know it, 35% of the lawmakers are women, and about 70% of the staff are women. So we have an opportunity there. We saw a deficiency to some degree in what I could do in coming alongside women who are struggling. And Carla is a certified biblical counselor. And she comes in and she's able to come alongside them and help them. So
this Thursday, as an example, walk us through that day. Now, you probably already sent out the Bible study, or you've sent out an email notifying everyone we're going to be meeting at such and such a time in room. How's that work?
Yeah, so you're actually not too far off, except we're not in session right now, so it won't be this Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, while we're in session, we'll go in on Tuesday morning usually and spend the morning walking around, talking to whoever wants to talk to us. We do have a number of people that will find us and ask us to pray for various situations mm-hmm. in their life. We look for those one-on-one opportunities. As we're distributing these Bible studies to the offices, the ones that want the Bible studies accept them gladly. The ones that don't usually just say thank you and are polite, and who knows what they do with them, and that's fine. But we look for those ministry opportunities in a one-on-one setting. Then I'll follow up with an email and say, hey, we're going to be meeting. I'll have breakfast. Here's the Bible study we'll be going through, which is the same one I passed out, and invite everybody who wants to come. And then we show up that morning and we spend a half an hour together. That's usually about what they have before they have to get to their committees and so on and so forth. And I try to take 20 minutes for the lesson for that day, and then another 10 minutes to take prayer requests and pray with them. It's just a wonderful opportunity to get to pray with them in person.
And yeah. This is in a room in the state capitol here in Springfield,
so,
or across the street? Or?
Yeah, we used to. No, it's in the capitol. We used to actually meet in the lieutenant governor's office pre-COVID, but that actually bridged between both. We had the previous administration started that, allowing us to do that. And then when Governor Pritzker and Lieutenant Governor Stratton came in, they let us continue to meet there. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that interrupted that was COVID. And so if you've been down to the Capitol recently, you may have seen there's a huge construction project going on. They are redoing the entire north wing of the Capitol. And it's moved all of the senators, most of the senators and House reps to the Stratton building. Mm. So we actually meet in a boardroom in the Stratton building.
One of the unique aspects of having our studios here at 600 West Mason Street, we can look out one of the back windows, and there's the state capitol just about five blocks away, and you know, we can be praying. But listening friend, I want to encourage you, when you think about this on Thursdays, when Kurt meets with these staffers, these are people that are working through policy mm-hmm. decisions that will affect our families, our communities, our governing representatives that oversee much of the policy here in Illinois, and for that matter for our Indiana listeners, be praying for those that can impact these congressmen, these senators, these people that represent you and represent the state. But here we have somebody, a believer in Jesus, a free agent for Jesus, going and praying and talking, sharing God's word with them. And you just never know how those divine appointments will work, where somebody maybe that doesn't have a faith journey comes and asks Kurt to be praying. Maybe they're going through a crisis, or maybe they have a special need and they feel comfortable because Kurt's been there faithfully when they're in session. Yeah. And I don't know if you knew this, but about 15 years ago, our singing men of GNN, we came to Springfield all in our tuxedos, and we sang the national anthem and put on a little mini concert downstairs under the rotunda.
Yeah, very cool.
It was really neat. I think
probably sounded good in there, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It echoed, and we had a standing ovation. I don't think many times they sing the national anthem during a live session. Somebody said it was the only time, but I don't know. But we got a standing ovation, and the Republicans, the Independents, the Democrats.
Yep.
They all cheered for us. So.
Well, and you might, so it's, they probably really enjoyed that, because what you typically get a lot in the rotunda of the Capitol is noise. Every day, especially towards the end of session in April and May, there's a lot of shouting and a lot of kind of negative type energy. So when people come in and do something that's encouraging sounds great, it's really appreciated by everybody across the political spectrum.
Yeah, I may have to talk with you or Congressman Chapin Rose. I think he helped organize that. That was some years ago, but I think we need to bring the singing men
back
to state capitol. We began the program with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and I want to get our minds wrapped around this, because this is much of what you do and desire to do, but we can all participate, whether we're praying for those in authority over us or respecting those that have different political views, to just embracing the fact that God has set people in authority, and we come under authority, whether it's our boss at work, whether it's our our family members, you know, the husband and wife and we're children, whether it's those that we are called to pray for. But it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. That's an important part. Even those that have different political views, God loves them. God cares for them. God wants us to interact. Yeah, we can have different points of view, but let's be sensitive. And God wants us to pray, to intercede, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Wow, that doesn't leave out many people, right?
Not.
Everyone.
Nope.
And then it goes on to say, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Mm. This is good and pleases God. Wow, whenever I see anything that says pleases God, we could please God. We could bring pleasure to God. What a high calling for all of us today. Well, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men, and for that matter, all men and all women, all boys, all girls. Yeah. God wants everyone to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You're ready to preach, right?
I am. Actually, I wanted to say two things about that if I can. So first of all, the little list there in the middle in verse 2 where it says that we may lead, and I'm looking at a different version than you are, tranquil, quiet, you're said, you're in NIV, I believe, right? It says
peaceful and quiet life.
Peaceful and quiet, and then godliness and holiness in your version, it says dignity in mine. Mm. And one of the things that when I get the opportunity to go preach and speak in churches, I always bring this up. This is actually an expectation. We're being commanded to pray this way, and the fruit of praying this way is these four qualities. When you think about politics and what you see on the news and what you see on social media, does tranquil, quiet, godly, and dignified come to mind? Typically not.
Right.
And I think as Christians, we really need to consider that this is an expectation the Lord has for us. This is Christians. This is how we should be, even when it comes to, you know, politics and the difficulties that we see going on in our culture. But there's an answer for how to achieve it. Well, you have to pray for them.
Mm.
And so the idea of praying for them. So I think some people have taken this passage and they think, well, this is an answer to prayer. If you pray this way, you will have an external peace and an external quietness, right? We will be left alone and things like that. But really what's going on is there's no promise necessarily that praying for them is going to mean we're going to get what we want politically. What is promised is that our spirit will be calm, that we will be quiet, that we will be dignified in our behavior and holy. And I think the reason for that is that it's hard to hate someone you're praying for.
Right.
Actually, quick story. I had a gentleman come up to me one time. I was speaking at my kids' Bible camp. And one of the counselors came up to me and he said, I've known about 1 Timothy 2 for a long time. He said, I really dislike politicians. He said, deeply dislike them. And said, I think they're the root of almost all of our problems. And he said, so I've had a hard time with that verse over the years. I don't know, how do I obey praying for them when I dislike them so much? He said, but I didn't go down two verses. I can pray for their salvation. And I took that as a step in the right direction for him and for him to be able to do that. We should be praying that they be saved. So what we do is we actually, on our website at www.civilmin.org, you can go and you can click on prayer calendar. And we actually have a calendar that allows you to pray for all of our Illinois elected leaders that are in the state. Some of them are in federal House and Senate roles. And then the rest of them are state senators, some are judicial branches. Pretty much everybody. If you pray for 7 of them a day, you can pray for them in a month. And so we have a calendar on there. And if you take a 31-day month, we're in one right now, and just pray through them, you can pray for them by name. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. Praying for them by name and praying for their salvation will go a long way in your own heart.
And what's that website? Because I want to make sure Karen has it in case you're driving and you can't write it down. Just call the station and we can give that to you.
Yeah. It's www.civilmin.org.
Okay, Civil Men, abbreviated for ministry,
yep.
civilmen.org, civilmen.org. If you didn't pick that up, just call the station. We'll have that available. It sounds like something that we all want to do and we're commanded to do, to pray for those in authority over us. We could cover them all in 1 month if we do 7 a day. I think that's something great, along with our emphasis of praying at noon, the Lord's Prayer, and all the other prayer initiatives that we want to embrace and be a part of. And I think this is great, Kurt, this ministry. It's called Civil Service Ministries. It's happening right here in Springfield at our state capitol. I mean, what a great way to influence policy by praying for these leaders, first and foremost, to come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, to be faithful followers of God. But some of them are very nice people, good people, and just by building these relationships and helping them know that they're being prayed for, that they're cared for.
I actually had a ministry supporter, a friend of mine from, he's down Metro East, Illinois side of the river, down by St. Louis, asked me if he could come up and meet his elected officials. And I tried to set that up, and they were very busy. They did allow him to speak with them. And one of his state senator, he just shared with him a very simple message. He said, I pray for you. This is my friend. He said, I pray for you every Wednesday, and this is how I pray for you. And he told him that he prays for wisdom. He prays for his spiritual well-being. He prays for a family. And he said, I want you to know that I do that every Wednesday. And I also want you to know that I truly appreciate that you're willing to serve in this way. And the senator was fighting tears. They don't hear encouraging things like that, really on either side. And so for him to do that, it was very impactful to hear that message.
Yeah, I think so many times we can get so fired up over our positions or our party or whatever that we create this big wall, this barrier. We're maybe angry over somebody that disagrees with what our position is, and then there's no conversation, there's no communication. Right. Yet when you can just say, I'm praying for you, and I love that he defines that, because some people don't understand when you say, I'm praying for you, they could say, oh, you think you're better than me?
Sure.
Or, oh, you're so great and close to God, what, I can't be great and close to God? Or,
yep.
You know, so when you qualify and saying, hey, I'm just going before the sovereign God that cares about all people, and I want to know how I can best approach him and share your needs. And that usually softens. Most people are very open to being prayed for if they understand that the intent is not so that you're going to pray and vote my way.
Right.
I'm just praying because God has commanded. God has called me to pray, to intercede. So listening, friend, you can have a strategic, an influential role. You can petition the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords,
Amen.
Almighty God, sovereign over the universe, to infuse ideas or thoughts or concepts or wisdom into these men and women's minds. You can influence that by praying to God. Have God have divine appointments with these people, and maybe using Kurt or Carla right here in our state capitol, and for that matter, the national capitol in Washington, D.C. For our Indiana listeners, be praying for the same things that are going on.
Actually, I have my good friend, his name's Matt Barnes, is in the Indiana State House.
Okay.
And the name of his organization is Public Servants Prayer, and a really wonderful organization. He's a good friend of mine. So if you're Indiana listeners, there's somebody doing it over there, too.
Amen. Great. Well, listening, friends, stop by civilmin.org, civil, CIVILMIN.org. Get that calendar. Please be praying for these people that are in authority. It's very biblical. It's actually commanded. God wants you involved, and he hears our prayers. We serve this great God that listens to us. It's amazing.
Amen.
It should motivate us all to pray more and more each and every day. Well, thank you, Kurt, for being available, and we're going to have you back, because I want to know a little more about Kim and this pumpkin patch and some of the things you shared recently at the Businessmen in Christ breakfast, because you were talking about the importance of counseling and how God helped you navigate through some things with anger, different issues, and the healing that can take place. And I want you to talk about do things God's way to get God's results. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Kurt Fleck with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.